How are you going to get traffic to your website in 2019? How are you going to get people to notice your product online in 2019? Well, we're going to talk about it coming up. It is on. Hey everybody, my name's Landon. I'm the owner of PerceiveLimitation.com. I'm a small business and entrepreneur development coach in Atlanta, Georgia, and I build better entrepreneurs through discipline, hard work, and proper knowledge. Today we're going to be talking about how to drive traffic to your website. But first, if you're a newcomer, I want to say thank you for joining us today and landing on my channel. If you wouldn't mind, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button up above. And don't forget to hit the little notification bell so that you can get notified every time I release content every single week. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into our content. What is traffic and how do we drive it to your website in 2019? Contrary to what most people believe, traffic is not actually the stuff that we sit in Atlanta on 85 trying to go into the city every morning for work. It's a different kind of traffic when you talk about online traffic for entrepreneurs and their websites. So let's break this down Barney style, shall we? What is traffic? Traffic in its simplest form is people coming to your website, coming to your Instagram page, coming to your Facebook page, coming to your Reddit profile, whatever the case may be. It's people coming to a specific landing page with the intent of hopefully engaging with that platform and or purchasing a good or service from the website owner. Now, traffic can be broken down into multiple tiers. Typically, you hear people talk about hot and cold traffic. However, personally, I like to throw a third one in there that I like to consider lukewarm traffic. So let's define these, shall we? Cold traffic is people coming to your website or to your landing page that have absolutely no business being there. They have absolutely no intention of buying anything, right? They are completely the wrong audience, and or they're people that are engaged in your particular customer profile and you are trying to convert them to a purchasing customer. So cold traffic is people coming to your website that have no intention of buying and no intention of engaging with your platform. Lukewarm traffic are people that come to your website that have maybe heard about you before, kind of want to check things out a little bit, see what's going on, might buy something, maybe they won't, who knows, but they're lukewarm, they're iffy, they might, they may not, but they've heard of you. Hot traffic is when people come to your website fully with the intention to purchase from you and give you their money. They know who you are. They know what you're about. They've bought into your branding. They are a new customer and or a returning and loyal customer. Those are your three tiers of traffic. Today, I'm going to give you my strategy on how to build traffic to your website. It is a slow strategy, but it's organic and best of all, it's free. So stick around, guys. Here it is, everybody. The 2019 strategy to drive traffic to your website. It's a lot, isn't it? Don't worry about it. I'm going to break it all down for you. But what I want to do here real quick is I actually want to give you a quick overview of the strategy itself. Now, this is a strategy that I have used for quite some time. I've used it for all my personal platforms. I've used it for a lot of my clients' platforms. It is an organic growth pattern, so it is slower, but it does work, and like I mentioned before, it is absolutely free. So today, and I'm going to go over each one of these very in-depth, but first we're going to talk about defining your content goals, then we're going to talk about destination prep, which is, you know, prepping your landing page to receive traffic, then we're going to talk about content creation, then we're going to talk about sharing your content,
reacting and engaging with things like comments, messages, conversations, things like that, then I'm gonna give you some additional steps that you can take outside of this organic growth pattern to give you some additional growth. So we'll talk about paid ads, and I'll break that down into social media ads and Google ads, as well as a couple other various platform ads. Talk about how to get some guest appearances on podcasts, talk about how to get featured on some blogs, and then we'll talk about some public events that you can go to spread the word about your brand, and how to do some basic networking outside of the internet that can bring some notoriety to what you're doing. So again, I know it's a lot, but we're going to dive right into it. So stick with me, guys. And for staying along this far in the video, I'm going to reward you with an interactive poll. Please look for it on the screen, and I'd love for you guys to engage with it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back, and thanks for sticking around. Let's get right into this strategy. Step one of this strategy, as you previously saw on the board behind me, is defining your traffic goals. What does that mean, and how do you do it? Okay, this is probably like the cornerstone of the rest of this strategy, because what you define as your traffic goals determines how you build out the rest of the strategy and ultimately how it ends up working for you. So defining your traffic goals is as simple as it sounds. You define exactly what you want the traffic to do as soon as it hits your website. So as soon as that person comes to your website, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to buy something from you? Do you want them to download an app? Do you want them to give you their email address prior to purchasing? Do you want them to view a particular video? Do you want them to look at a certain photo? What do you want them to do? So you can begin to see how this drives the rest of this strategy. I'll give you an example. If your ultimate goal is to have them download a video, if your goal is to have them view a video, right? When we get to the portion of the strategy where we talk about sharing that content on other platforms, how you build content around that video, the copy you write for it, how you share it, who you share it with, and how you interact with those people is drastically different than if you're sharing a piece of content to get someone to sign up for an email list. Because how you would share that piece of content, where you would share it, how you would talk to the people in those particular groups, how you would engage with them and the conversations you would have are so totally different. So this is why it's incredibly important to specifically define your end state for this traffic and what you want it to do as soon as it hits your website. Now, the second part of this is, where do you want the traffic to go once it gets to your website? What do I mean by this? I'll give you another example. Far too often, people send traffic directly to the homepage of their website. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about how to drive traffic to your website in 2019, not your Facebook page, not your Instagram page, not your Bumble account, not your Tinder profile, but your website. So by sending people to your homepage, i.e. if you build a piece of content and you drop in your website URL and it goes directly to your homepage, let's look at how this breaks down. I'm a potential customer, right? I'm some lukewarm traffic that we discussed. I go to your homepage and you want me to buy something. Now I, as the consumer, have to decide that I like the website enough, I like the aesthetics of the website enough to stay on the website, right? The colors kind of caught my attention, so I think I'll look around a bit. I'm gonna click on the about page, read a little bit. I'm gonna click on this. Oh, here's a products page that I found. Let me scroll through all 900 freaking products, find the one that I like. Oh, let me figure out what color I like it in. Click on the product, read the description. I'm still interested enough. So now let me add that to my cart, go to my cart, put in my payment information, and now I order it. Do you see how high that click volume is and how quickly it can get to that level? So the purpose of sending them to a specific place is to cut out as many steps as possible and have as little steps as possible between getting them to your website and getting that item purchased, right? If that's your goal, or whatever your goal is, as little steps, as few steps as possible. It's called piping. You have to build pipelines into your website to funnel people through as quick as possible. Now, I highly, highly encourage everybody watching this video to go out, read, and learn as much as you can about online consumer behavior, because it's incredibly important. And we'll also talk a little bit more about consumer behavior when we get to the analytics portion, because there's a lot that can be learned from that that will help drive how you build pipelines into your website. So for this portion of the strategy, remember, you have to specifically define your traffic goal. What do you want them to do as soon as they get to your website? And second, you have to decide where you want them to go on your website. You need to send them to a specific landing page. Do not send them to your homepage unless you have a damn good reason for it. If you want them to buy something, which most of you probably do, send them directly to your product page. Better yet, send them directly to a specific product. If it's your most popular product, or if it's one that you're doing a A-B split test on and you're trying to see how this one's going to work on the market, send them directly to that product link. So they go straight there. Then all they have to do is see it, read the description, pick the color, whatever you have them do, add it to cart, go to cart, put in their info, and bam, pay for it. And when they get to the cart, make sure you have a feedback loop built in. Make sure you are capturing their email addresses at the checkout. Because when they give you their email address, not only can you send them a virtual automated receipt with a tracking number, but now you have an email address to build your organic email list so that you can begin email marketing. Now, the third part of this strategy is something I like to call destination prep. What is that? This is where you prepare your landing page or your website or wherever you're sending people to receive potentially large amounts of traffic. So I want to go over a handful of super, super rookie mistakes that I see a lot of people making on their websites when it comes to receiving traffic. And the first one is, make sure the links on your website work. I don't care if you build your website yourself. I built mine, both of mine actually, myself on WordPress and one on Squarespace. Or if you have somebody else build it for you. If you hire a website designer or whoever, if somebody else builds your website for you, make sure your links work. This is your website, guys. This is the very first impression these customers are going to get of you, and what they think of you matters. So go to your website, click on every freaking link. Just go nuts. Just start clicking on stuff. Click on this, click on that, click on this, click back, go forward, go sideways, go up, go down. Click on everything. Make sure the links work. Second, and this kind of piggybacks off making sure your links work, is make sure your freaking cart works. Because you're going to be kicking yourself in the ass, and you're going to be super, super salty if you drive somebody to your website because you had a great piece of content, and they go straight to a product page like we just talked about, and they're like, damn, that's a great product. Let me add that to my cart. And then they get to the cart, and they can't check out because the place where you put in the credit card information is grayed out for some reason, and they can't put in their stuff. I'm willing to bet they're going to leave and not come back. So make sure your cart works. The third mistake that I see a lot that I briefly touched on is make sure you're capturing email addresses. Now, capturing email addresses, yes, is important so that you can begin to build your organic email list so you can start to dabble in email marketing, but more so that you can send them an automated email receipt. This is just basic customer service, guys. You need to send them a receipt with a tracking number to let them know that their money was well received, to let them know that their product and package is on the way, to make them feel cared about. Let them know that you got their email, you're thankful for their business. Send them something a little extra in the email, like some tips or blog advice, whatever the case may be, I don't care. Make it special, because when it comes to the sphere of social selling, people like to know that you give a crap about them. Because again, going back to consumer behavior, people do not buy based upon logic. People buy based upon emotion, right? It goes back to the whole thing of sell me this pen. Sell me this pen. It's based upon emotion. So make people feel cared for, and sending them a nice email receipt and then sending them something once their product ships and then letting them know that it got there and that you're super thankful for their business and all this nonsense, even though they may glance over it and just say, oh yeah, just another automated thing. Think about how they would feel if they didn't get that automated email. Think about what that would cause if they didn't have that tracking information, or God forbid that they didn't feel cared for. So just think about that. Now, the fourth mistake that I see, and this is probably, dare I say, the biggest, is analytics. If you don't know what analytics are, whew, you're in for one hell of a ride. And this is something that I really, really wish that I had known more about much, much earlier on. Analytics, at its core, is a platform that you can link to your website to track literally everything. Now, there are a couple different platforms that do analytics. Actually, there are a lot. The main one is Google Analytics, and it's completely free. The second one that I recommend people use is Facebook Analytics. So if you don't have, yes, we're talking about websites here and driving traffic to your websites in 2019, but if you don't have a Facebook or some sort of social media presence in 2019, it's really hard to say that you even exist. So I know that sounds weird, but always have your websites linking back to your social media and link your Facebook analytics to your website. If you don't know what it is, you can go get a Facebook pixel, Google it. It's far too much for me to explain in this particular video, but link Google Analytics, link Facebook Analytics to your website at a bare minimum. Any platform worth its salt has analytics. For example, there's iTunes analytics for the podcasts that people run. Spotify has analytics for those podcasts. I like to answer a lot of questions on Quora.com, and guess what? Quora provides me with built-in analytics, and you can track literally anything. I know your gender, I know your age, I know your assumed household income along with your socioeconomic status, I know where you came from to get to my website, I know exactly how long you stayed on my website and exactly when you fell off, I know everything about you, I know I can break people into cohorts and determine how much that cohort is worth, and I can see, like, Google Analytics gives you a tree map of consumer behavior, what pages they went to, what when they exited your website, why they exited your website, and it breaks it all down. From the time a person lands on my website, I can see exactly where they went on my website and exactly how long it took them to do it, so that I can track patterns of consumer behavior and then change things on my website to build better what? Better pipelines. That's right. So this is how analytics and understanding even just a little bit about online consumer behavior can really, really work in your benefit. So again, analytics is an enormous beast that I can't thoroughly explain in this video, but I'm telling you, you need to have analytics. It is 100% the artificial intelligence behind your website. Now, please understand that when you go to learn about Google Analytics and Facebook Analytics, you are going to be drastically overwhelmed. That is okay. please just take a breath. And how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Take a couple days, even 2 to 3 weeks, to study these analytics, these analytical platforms and how they work. Facebook Analytics, Google Analytics, they're free. Go in there, sign up for an account, and just click around on stuff, man. Just click on it, see what it means, read about it, research it, and understand how it plays in to your online ecosystem. Now, to have Facebook Analytics, you're going to have a business Facebook account like I do, which if you're not a part of, shame on you. You need to go like my Facebook page. It's called Perceive Limitation, you know, the same company that makes these videos. So go like it. But take some time to truly understand your analytics. Take a breath. It's going to be a lot. Like we say in the Army, it's like drinking from a fire hose, but you'll be okay and you will be a better entrepreneur for it. Now, lastly, this isn't a piece of advice to drive traffic to your website. This is more of a production piece of advice, a production infrastructure piece of advice, actually. But if you are one of the people out there, for example, a lot of Etsy people do this. If you are one of the DIY, do-it-yourself people, which is cool, please make sure that you are able to meet consumer demand. If you go out and you release a piece of content and it goes freaking viral and you get an overnight capacity of 2,000 orders, are you going to realistically be able to fill those orders? If you're doing it by hand, probably not. So what I would suggest is either A, you get in touch with some vendors, B, you get some friends to help you, or C, maybe you build a bit of a surplus prior. So maybe you have an extra 100, 150, 200 orders on hand that you can just, boom, push out. It's up to you. You do what you want, but that would be my recommendation. So again, this portion of the strategy involves making sure your website works, making sure your landing pages work. Check your links, check your cart, check your email capturing, and for the love of God, please have some analytical capabilities built into your website. Now, the fourth step to this strategy, as I mentioned previously, is what I like to call content creation. Now, content creation is not anything new to the market. It's not some super advanced business idea or anything like that. It is very simple. It is something that has been around since the dawn of social media, since the dawn of social media influencers, and it is really at kind of the core of this strategy. So there are a couple aspects to this part that I'm going to talk to you about, but all of this content creation is based upon the assumption that you, the person watching this video, have already completed your market research and customer analysis. If you haven't done that, go back and do it. So let's talk about this. When you create your content, guys and gals, you need to create it around the customer analysis that you have done. So without delving way, way deep into market research, let's talk about three crucial aspects of your content creation that you're going to draw from your market research. The first one is the type of content that your customers and audience prefer to see. So if you are going to use a social media platform to push traffic to your website, which most of you watching this video probably are, then the type of content that you create is going to be critical. So for example, based upon your customer analysis and market research, you should know, does your audience like to see infographics? Do they like to consume podcasts? Do they prefer short videos, long videos? Do they like to look at just articles? Do they like basic posts on Facebook? What type of content do they like to consume? This is going to be the key to the type of content that you create for them. And then moving even further than that, you're going to have to know the frequency at which to post. And this is going to vary based upon platform, but the best strategy that I can tell you to figure out the exact frequency that you need to post is really just throwing darts at a wall. And the reason I say that is because in the beginning, you need to be posting much more frequently than you will in the latter part of your career. And you really need to allow the analytical capabilities of Facebook or of Instagram. I don't use Snapchat, but I'm sure they have analytics as well. If you are posting on your website, if you are posting on your blog, wherever you are posting, you need to allow the analytical capabilities of whatever software you have hooked up to really take over and pinpoint this for you. So I always tell people, post at least once a day for a couple of months. And what this will do, for example, on Facebook, if you go into Facebook Analytics, it will tell you exactly when your people, when your audience and your customers are online. Exactly which posts of yours they are engaging with the most. So throwing darts at a wall in this case really isn't that bad of an idea, and just allow the software to do what it does. Now, going one step further and really digging down deep into this, once you get that down pat, you need to go so far as to figure out exactly what time of day to be posting. And again, the analytics will help you do this. So figure out the frequency, figure out the type of content you're going to be producing, and figure it out for your people and start doing it. And once you get it down pat, you can start to back off a little bit. If you notice, a lot of big time YouTube influencers will start out posting 2 to 3 times a week. And then as they get a couple thousand, couple 10,000, couple 100,000 subscribers, they might back off to twice a week or even once a week because they have the momentum that works for them. That's why they can still post one video a week and still get 400,000 views on it. See what I'm saying? So figure out the type of content your people want, figure out the frequency, and figure out the exact times that they want to see this at. Now, moving forward, let's talk a little bit about the professionalism of the content you're creating. You have to post high quality content. What do I mean by this? This is going to be the very first impression that people have of you on the internet without ever having met you. They know nothing about you. They don't give a damn who you are. All they care about is how you're going to solve their problems for them. So how are you going to create high quality content that really reaches out, grabs them, and elicits that emotional response? So I'm talking about things like making sure that your photos and your videos are clear and crisp. I cannot tell you how many times I go on Quora or Reddit or Facebook or Instagram or whatever and see low-grade, low-quality content that has blurry photos and just crap quality videos. High-end YouTubers don't have crap quality videos. They have very high-quality lighting, very high-quality audio. So these are the things that you need to start looking at. Do you have good audio? Is your audio crisp and clear? Is the lighting pristine in your videos and in your photos? There's plenty of cheap equipment on the market that you can get to enhance these aspects of your content. You need to ensure that your content is branded in some form or fashion. Now, please understand that a logo and color scheme are not a brand. They are part of brand recognition, but they are not in themselves a brand. People do not buy Ralph Lauren for the logo. They buy it because what the logo stands for. The logo stands for high quality living, high class, expensive living. That's why people buy the logo. They don't buy it because it's a certain color. They don't buy it because the logo looks cool. It's because what's behind the logo. You can be a brand. Your company can be a brand, but your logo standalone by itself without any content is not a brand. And I'm going to create a video later on branding, but you need to brand your video in some way to give it some sort of brand recognition, whether it be a tagline
or a color scheme or something, figure out a way to build in some brand recognition. For example, at the end of all my videos, I drop my tagline, which is keep moving forward. No matter what happens in life, you keep moving forward. That's my mantra, one of my mantras, and that's the tagline for my company. So brand your content. When you create your content, going back to the quality, you need to ensure that your shit is thought out and rehearsed. If it's a blog, make sure it is thought out, grammatically correct, and well rehearsed. If it is a video, you know how much I rehearse these videos that I put on here? At least 4 to 5 times a piece, if not more, plus retakes, plus bloopers, whatever the case may be. Make sure your content is well thought out, it makes sense, it flows, and it is rehearsed, and that you are wired tight. You need to appear professional. Even if you're like the funny guy on YouTube, you need to be professional in your industry, because you're wanting to be known as the expert in your industry, right? You're wanting to be known as the go-to guy or gal in your industry or in your niche. So have some pride, think about what you're doing, and rehearse it. The next point I want to make on creating high quality content is be consistent. This means if you're going to commit to posting every single day, then commit to posting every single day. Because once you start building a following, once you start building a base of customers, you need to show up, because that's what they're there for. That's what's going to keep that momentum going, is that you show up. For example, me being in the Army, if I don't show up to formation, but I force my soldiers to, do you think they're going to respect me? If I send my soldiers to PT, physical training, in the mornings, but I don't show up, do you think they're going to respect me? Or, God forbid, if I send my soldiers into combat and I don't go, do you think they're really going to respect me? Granted, that's a very unique and somewhat extreme example, but you get my point. You have to be consistent, show up every time you say you're going to show up. Now, the last point that I want to make on content creation is I really, really, really suggest you have a stockpile of content prior to your release. So the month, preferably at least 2 months leading up to the launch of whatever you're doing, you need to be cranking out content every single day. You need to have a stockpile of at least 100 to 150 pieces of content in reserve. Because God forbid you go to launch and you're working overnight to constantly create content. So this is a strategy to help you work smarter and not harder. Make it easier on yourself. Because once you release, once you launch, you're going to have even more stuff to do and take care of than you did prior. Because now what happens if you do start getting traffic and you do start making sales and people are asking you all kinds of questions and sending you emails and you are just like, your shit is taking off. You think you're going to have time to create content every single day? No. And God forbid life catch up with you, and like me, you have a kid, or you know, a car accident happens, or someone gets married, or whatever, you have something to fall back on and help you through the process. Now, this does not mean that you can create this stockpile and simply rest on your laurels. No, you need to keep creating this content, but it is okay to take a bit of a back seat on it because you have a bit of a cushion. So, just a quick recap on this section. Content creation, it needs to be based around your market research and your customer analysis. What type of content do they like to consume? How often? Specifically the day and the time. Your content needs to be high quality, needs to be clear, concise, rehearsed, thought out, be consistent, and have a stockpile of your content. Moving on to the fifth step in the strategy is sharing. The fifth step to this overall strategy is sharing. Again, not a new concept. It's been around since the beginning of social media. Well, maybe a little bit after, once social media had all the bugs worked out. But yes, you share your content to as many social media platforms as you can, or as many platforms that you interact with as you can. But you don't just share it to any old platform, and you don't just share it into groups and simply just hawk your wares like a used car salesman, because nobody likes that guy. Nobody likes the dude in the middle of the mall at the kiosk that every time you walk by, like, oh, hey man, buy my jewelry. Hey man, buy my shoe cleaner. Hey man, buy this little drone toy thing. Nobody likes those guys. I hate those guys. So don't do that. So then you're probably asking yourself, how do I share my content if I'm not sharing my content, right? Well, there are some ethical and kind of polite ways that you can go about this. So before we get to that part, I want to share with you a little story. And this has to do with the types of social media platforms that you share them on. I recommend that you begin with platforms that already have a natural following, such as Facebook groups, or Quora, or Reddit, or established Facebook and Instagram pages, or established YouTube channels, things like that. So, being in the Army, I'm really, really big into fitness. Kind of a meathead, kind of a gym rat. And one day, I'm in the gym, this was years ago, and I thought to myself, man, how do bodybuilders in the bodybuilding world just kind of show up out of nowhere and then bam, blow up? It seems like they just blow up overnight. Suddenly, they're all over Instagram. They're all over YouTube. They're all over Facebook, all over the internet, all over bodybuilding.com. But granted, yes, we didn't see the work they put in. But it's because they went to places, they earned their way to places like Musclemania or the Arnold Open. They went to a platform that already has a following. Even if they themselves had never put a single thing on social media and they just show up at the Arnold Open, they're going to get a lot of attention. They're going to get magazine deals. They're going to get photos taken, all kinds of stuff. They might be like Kai Green and end up getting small bits in movies. So do not recreate the wheel as an entrepreneur. You have to work smarter and harder. You have to be able to hit that combination, because being an entrepreneur and being a business owner, particularly a new business owner, is hard enough as it is. So you got to work smarter and harder. Back to my previous point. Go to platforms that already have an established following, such as, once again, Facebook groups, Quora, Reddit, established Facebook pages. That's different than a Facebook group. Somebody who has a page on Instagram that gets lots and lots of traffic. Established Instagram pages, established YouTube channels. And this is going to take me slightly into the sixth step of this strategy, which is react and engage. Now, and I'm going to talk about this more in just a moment, but to finish up this step, when you go to these pages, when you go to these communities, again, do not just start hawking your wares, because nobody likes that guy or gal. Take a month, take 2 months to build some rapport in that community and actually become an active member in that community. So that way, once you start just answering people's questions, posting interactive stuff in the group, commenting, actually making educational comments and intellectual comments on people's posts to drive and kind of engineer some conversation, you can start to build rapport. And once you get some followers on Reddit, for example, once you build up enough karma points and you get some followers, then you can drop your website URL or your course URL or whatever the heck you have, you can drop it in there. So that way, now you have some rapport. People kind of already associate you with knowing what you're talking about in that particular niche and industry, and now they're more apt to follow you. So again, share your content on already established platforms. Do not
be a douchebag in these communities, build some rapport, build, you know, some relationships, and actually draw conversation and educational points from these communities. Take it as an opportunity to meet people and then start putting your stuff in there. But again, don't just be like, hey, here's the answer to this. Hey, buy my stuff. No, you have to learn to lead people to that conclusion. It takes time, it takes practice, and it takes way longer than I'm willing to commit to this video on social selling as like an actual thing. So again, another topic for another video, but build relationships when you share your content. Okay, now moving on to the sixth step, which is reacting and engaging in the content. So this is where you can kind of get into what I like to call prospecting. As you're kind of hunting on these YouTube channels, Facebook groups, whatever the case may be, you have to keep an eye out for conversations that are going towards your niche, things that you can engineer to go in the direction of a conversation that you would have a lot of knowledge on. So when people start commenting on your post, be sure to engage with them. Comment back. Don't just like it, comment back. Or when you comment on somebody's post, I know things on social media can start to move quick, but you have to make a very deliberate effort to carry a conversation all the way through. Okay, if you're talking to somebody in person, you wouldn't just turn around and walk away. That's rude. So carry the conversation all the way to fruition. Keep an eye out. Try to find conversations and pieces of content that you can engage with that you know a lot about and actually engage with them. And again, don't be a douchebag. This means no fighting with people. Okay, we're all adults. No political conversations. No religious conversations, because you're an entrepreneur now. You're a business owner now. People don't pay you to have an opinion. Yes, you can have an opinion, but if you want to express it, go right ahead. But I guarantee you it's not going to make you any money. I'll give you an example. Political. More people argue about politics than just about anything else. But a Democrat's dollar looks the exact same in your bank account as a Republican's dollar. Just saying. So don't engage in high-tense political and religious conversations. Do not pick fights with people. Do not be petty. Be professional and engage with people. Listen to what they have to say. Start getting in on group conversations. And what's phenomenal about this is as you start to build followers and they start to go to your website, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start to gather raw data. How? Because you have analytical capabilities hooked to your website. So now you're going to start to learn all about the people that you're engaging with. And this is how you take conjecture slash objective market research that you did in the beginning, hone it, and make it 100% fact-based market research. So now you know all about your industry, and now you know even more about your customers because you've built those relations, you've pushed them to your website, and the analytics have done the rest. You know all about them, demographics, interest, consumer behavior, all kinds of stuff. So now you can take this and you can begin to hone your strategy, hone your marketing capabilities. And then when they actually pay you money, you can then take that money and invest it in paid ads, whether it be social media ads or Google ads. And guess what? They'll actually work because they're based on real data. That's the difference between Facebook ads that flop and Facebook ads that prosper, is because you're not just guessing at random interest or random consumer behavior that, quite frankly, you probably have no idea about. It's because it's based on real analytical data. So there's a really big line to all of this. But again, engage with your people on platforms that already have a natural following. Build a legitimate following of people that are interested in what you have. It will drive lukewarm and hot traffic to your website. Capture that data through the analytical tools and then reinvest that money and knowledge back into your company. Whew, man. All right, that concludes the overall strategy. Yes, it is a slow strategy. It is an organic strategy, but it works. Commit the time to it, commit to being an entrepreneur, and you will succeed. Now, moving forward, I'm gonna close out this video by touching on briefly some additional steps and things that you can do to build traffic a little bit quicker. All right, now that we've gone over our organic strategy, I'm gonna give you guys some tips of the trade that I have found to build your website traffic just a little bit faster. Because let's be honest, that's a really, really long strategy, and quite frankly, it can take years. And as entrepreneurs, we don't always have that kind of time. And believe it or not, I actually have another video on this, not seeing enough progress is one of the top reasons that entrepreneurs tend to procrastinate. So be sure to check out that video on my channel as well. But first off, let's talk about some inorganic methods. Paid ads. I'm talking about Google ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, YouTube ads. Guys, I've done them all. They can work really, really well, or they can absolutely suck. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about this because they are an absolute beast. So I'm going to tell you, you can start out cheap, $5, $10, $15, but you need to go out and read about them, learn about them, and try it out and learn how they work. Even if you have a super successful ad, you need to be doing what's called A-B split testing. And essentially what that is you take two identical ads and you simply change something slightly about one of the ads and you run them against each other. Maybe you change the color scheme. Maybe you change the location of the ad. Or maybe you change the copy of the ad ever so slightly to see which one performs better so that you can make that already successful or that not so successful ad maybe just a little bit better. So have some due diligence with your ads. Learn about them because I've lost money on ads and I've also run ads that have made me tens upon tens of thousands of dollars. So they do work, but I always recommend you base it on your market research and what? Your analytical data. That's right. So moving on, some more organic assets that you can use that are a little bit quicker. Guys, go out and become a guest star on a podcast, a YouTube channel, or a blog. How do you do this? Just like we mentioned, you build social relationships. Find a podcast on Spotify that you actually like in your industry and niche. Listen to 10 or 12 or 13 episodes and then shoot the podcaster an email. Say, hey, sir, ma'am, I really liked what you said about blah, blah, blah in episode X, Y, and Z. I would love to know more about how you came to that conclusion and how you got to where you're at. Bam, send it. And then find their social media page and start engaging in their community. And after you build relations, you know, for about a month or so, send them another email. Hey, sir, ma'am, it's me again. You know, this is what I got going on. I'm really looking to grow my consumer base. Would you mind if I guest starred on your podcast? What's the worst they can say? No? Okay, cool. Thanks. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. And then keep listening to the podcast if you want. Same thing with YouTubers. Same thing with bloggers. Reach out to them. Build rapport. It's called social selling. But it requires relationships. So, moving on from that, one of my favorites is actually attending public events like charities or seminars or conferences or networking events in general. Okay? Go there. Talk to people. Build your brand. Spread your brand outside of the internet. Every single time I go to a networking event or a conference or I personally hold a workshop, I get tons of traffic to my website. I always see a spike in my analytics every single time. But again, going back to etiquette, don't be that douchebag that runs around with your goal is to just throw out as many business cards as you can, because nobody likes that guy or gal.
every time. No, I promise nobody's going to remember you if you're the dude that comes up, hands out a business card with absolutely zero context behind it. People are just going to throw it away as soon as you give it to them. Me, on the other hand, as soon as those people hand me their business card, like, I've been at conferences before, and I'm actually in a, like, two- or three-person conversation about something, and somebody will come up and stick their arm in between us and hand me a business card. What I like to do is I like to take that business card while they're still looking and throw it in the trash to let them know that what they did was super shitty. Because I want them to feel super shitty because what they did was super shitty. Nobody likes that guy or gal. So go to some networking events, build some relationships, make some friends because your network is your net worth. Again, dive into some paid ads, spend just a little bit of money, not a lot, learn how the systems work, try to base it off your market research and your analytical data from your analytics on your website and on your social media pages. Reach out to some podcasters, YouTubers, and bloggers. See if you can become a guest star on their shows. Go to some public events. Go to networking events. That is all I have for you guys. I really hope this helps. Again, my name is Landon. I'm the owner of PerceiveLimitation.com. Thank you so much. And if you haven't, please consider subscribing to my channel. Mash that button up above. Hit the little notification bell so you can get notified every time I release new content. And again, no matter what happens in life, guys, keep moving forward.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.